May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection be with each one of us this morning as we fellowship together. Good morning, everyone. And good morning to all our visitors as well that are in our midst this morning from Manitoba, Fort St. John, BC, and I don't know where else. I maybe better be careful what I all mention here this morning, but we're just so glad to have you all here in our midst this morning. It's a blessing to be in fellowship this morning, and thank you so much, Cornelius and Dennis, for opening up this morning, song leaders, the wonderful selection of songs this morning. And what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning again, to be fellowshipping. And as Brother Henry prayed this morning, we sometimes take it maybe just a bit too lightly how fortunate we are that we come together to fellowship, that we have this freedom in this land and this country. As I read Voice of the Martyrs newsletters, getting them very regularly now about the martyrs that are going on in foreign lands and countries, we are a very blessed nation here. Friday, we celebrated 155 years, didn't we, in this country of Canada. Isn't that a blessing? You know, and we have this kind of freedom this morning. I don't feel any danger standing in the pulpit. And I don't think any of you feel danger sitting in the pews like in some countries they would. They would be ready to duck and hide and whatever it might take, right? But this morning, we're so blessed to be here. This morning, I would like to go back to the book of Daniel. And I would like to go to chapter 7. And for those of you who are visitors and strangers here, I've been working through the book of Daniel, and it's been for some time already, and with other special occasions coming in, and I skip out of Daniel and go to other things, and so this morning I can go back to the book of Daniel again. And I prayed about doing this, or if the Lord wanted me to do something else, and I felt very comfortable that he would let me go into the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. And we'll read all 28 verses, and then we'll expound accordingly. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea and diverse one from another. And the first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, and before him there were three of these first horns plucked up from the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hairs of his head like the pure wool, his throne like fire, like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were long for a season and a time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him now near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four and are four kings and shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and then possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and the ten horns that were in his head, and all, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints and the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and which shall be a diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. The ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from all the first. And he shall subdue three kings. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints and the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume, to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Thus far, may God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Loving God and Father, we just want to thank you and praise you, Father, for your word and your truth. Father, we thank you that we can open up the Bibles this morning and so freely read your word. We thank you, Father, that through prophets of many, many years ago, you have written what is to forecome, and what the future will hold, and how the times will be. And Father, you have given that to us for our learning. And Father, we may not understand all this. And even as Daniel had trouble understanding what all his dreams were to mean, and he was very troubled. And yet, Father, his time has passed now, and we have a better understanding, but we still don't understand all. But Father, this morning, as we go through your word, we pray, God, that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would lead and guide us through this scripture. And Father, give us understanding. And Father, may you speak to each one individually, as it may please you, Father. We pray all these things in your precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, the book of Daniel is a book that in many areas is probably difficult to understand. And in many areas is perhaps so much history in it that is way before our time and we don't quite gather this all. But here Daniel, in chapter 7, he is starting to write, and he talks about the first year of Belshazzar. Well, in the first year of Belshazzar's reign, Daniel was in the kingdom. And here we see particularly that during that first year of Belshazzar's reign, Daniel is having dreams. It seems until the end of Daniel's reign, Daniel was interpreting dreams for others. He was interpreting dreams for Nebuchadnezzar, and then Belshazzar, of course, and Belshazzar's dream, or not dream, but he literally seen the handwriting on the wall, and which basically meant that his kingdom was done. It would be taken away from him. But so Daniel now, he is taking and writing down his dreams. And what I see here, he's probably had three different dreams, or maybe three different segments of dreams, and all pertaining to the time of Daniel, and then the future. His very first dream is about the day that he's basically living in. And that's many, many millennia ago. But he has in his vision four animals, four creatures. In chapter 7, verse 2, he starts out talking about the vision he's had. And he talks about the four beasts in verse 3. And then in verse 4, he talks about the first animal that he sees in his dream. It's a lion. And it has wings, eagle's wings. And it was lifted up on the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So what do we take of the first animal, the lion? Well, what I've gathered is none other than Babylon itself, where Daniel is now in captivity, where the children of Israel were in captivity for 70 years. And Daniel's been there since he was a teenager. And it's presumed now perhaps he's about 65 years old, maybe even a little older already. And all these years since a teenager, he's been in with the government. So first of all, he has this dream of the lion, which is Babylon. Then he has a second, in that same dream, he has the dream about another animal, a bear. It raised itself up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth. And between the teeth of it, they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Or we would say, take up many nations. So we know Media Persia, we have studied in the past in Daniel, came and destroyed Babylon. And just a few chapters ago, when Belshazzar became ruling in chapter 5, Belshazzar had the vision, or saw the writing on the wall, and said his days were numbered, his kingdom was taken from him. Media Persia walked through the river gates and came and took Babylon captive. And so Media Persia was now in control. But after that, he has another, looks at another animal. He sees another animal. In verse 6, he sees a leopard. And it had four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had four heads. And dominion was given to it. And this one is none other than Greece. Greece was the next big nation to take control of Media Persia and Babylon and all the surrounding nations. But then he sees in verse 7, which perhaps we start looking at future. We start looking more at prophecy and what is actually to come. And it's interesting how God would, so far back, in the days of Daniel, already start prophesying and telling the people what is to come. After this, in verse 7, I saw in the night vision. It's almost like it's another dream, maybe another segment of a dream, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and he had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now we look at this beast, and also, let's read verse 8 again. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three, and the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now this particular beast here, in this vision, twice we see teeth of iron. Twice we see, also in verse 19, we see stamped the residue with his feet. We see this beast being a mighty, mighty, powerful beast. This beast could have an interpretation of two things. Number one, Rome, and number two, and maybe even number one rather than number two, Antichrist. What Daniel is describing is awful, an awful-looking animal. Awful-looking creature, for that matter. But we also see that this beast, as we see in verse 8, his eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things. So what is he going to be speaking? What is he going to be saying? Well, he's probably going to be flattering the people. That's probably what he's going to be doing. If we go forward to verse 23, it says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue three kings. Verse 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times, laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of times. So he is going to have 3.5 years to do all these things. This Antichrist, as I picture this to be, what Daniel's talking about, what he's going to be doing, he's going to change many things. He's going to change times and laws. He's going to wear out the saints. Well, how is he going to change times? How is he going to change laws? Well, what I can visualize and see when this Antichrist comes on the scene, he is going to start changing things in this world, in this land, taking away everything that pertains to Christianity. He is going to be taking away all the spiritual Christian holidays that we've ever had. He is going to change how the laws are done. And we're seeing a lot of that happening already, aren't we? Laws are changed time and time again. More rights given to unlawfulness. More rights given to all the different women and men and so forth. Marriages are being opened up wide open to everything and anything. It's no longer just marriages between man and a woman. And we know the Roe versus Wade law was just struck down in the U.S. But what does Canada say? That is going backwards. For the Christian circle, it's a time of rejoicing. And for anybody that's in Christ, it's a time of rejoicing. But for us as believers, we do rejoice. But the world, you probably have heard that as well, are angry at this whole law reversal. But I'm sure Antichrist is going to bring that all back again and give freedom to the ones who are screaming about this. And so we see just a little glimpse of how powerful this Antichrist will be and how mighty he will be. And we may even think that through the pandemic was a terrible time. It was a challenging time when we were started locking down our churches. We were limited to where we could go. We're still limited to travel. At least we have freedom to travel within the country. But we were limited. You know, and I've been saying that persecution is very minute compared to what's to come. When Antichrist is going to be unleashed, he says in verse 25, he will wear out the saints. He will speak great words against the Most High. He will speak out against God. That's what he's saying. He will wear out the saints. Friends, let's go to Revelation, I think it's chapter 13. Where it describes Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns and like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth, them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beasts, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. We notice that, do we? We're going to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. That's the continued description of Antichrist. And what, as I was just looking at this yesterday again, in verse 15 really caught my eye. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as he would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. What is he saying? What is John saying about the image of the beast here? Yet this Antichrist had the power to give life to an image. I'm going to say something here. Pardon me. Maybe I'm off on this, and I'm willing to be corrected. I'm willing to learn more about this. But when I'm reading and studying in a small way about transhumanism, artificial intelligence, I think that's all falls into this category. Artificial intelligence and so forth is all about computer chips and so forth in people, planted into the people's hearts and minds. Well, I shouldn't say heart, but in the mind or in the body, let me just put it that way, in the body. And these computer chips will be programmable. And the book that I read just recently describes a lot of this, about the artificial intelligence and the transhumanism. The book is written by Christians, by the way. And one of the writers is Carl Tikrup. We had him here as a Deeper Life speaker some years ago. He writes about this as well. But what I want to lay on your hearts as well this morning, in that same book, that talks about there will become a time that you will be wanting to send your children to school. And if your child doesn't have a computer chip implanted in them when they start kindergarten or grade one, was one of those years, they will send him home and say, we cannot teach you. It's going to be all about teaching with computers and artificial intelligence and so forth. But it says here, this Antichrist in verse 15, had in Revelation 13, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Do you know right now in the States they're setting up images of man? They're setting up seven and spending millions and millions of dollars doing this. And humans will be able to walk up to this artificial looking man who will look very real. And will be able to ask questions of this man, and this man or this person will be able to answer you and will talk to you and communicate with you. He talks about the image. Give life unto the image of the beast. And this image of the beast, we are to worship him one day. Those that are alive on the earth at the time will be asked to worship him. In Daniel, what chapter was it again? Wasn't it Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet tall? And everyone was supposed to bow down and worship this image. And who didn't? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They didn't bow down to worship this image. And what happened to these Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And it was God who saved them out of that fiery furnace. It's believed, like it said, the Son of Man was walking with them in the fiery furnace. It was Jesus Christ walking with them in that furnace. He was saving them. Should be there those that are alive in that day when this should happen, that we're going to be taking that number system, or we'll be asked to take the number system. Will we be there? Will there be Christians there? Will we be able to stand? God, I believe, will deliver us from that and that dreadful time. These are things Daniel wrote about already. The Apostle John is writing about them. But then let's switch the tide a little bit this morning to another vision, or another part of the vision that Daniel had in verse 9. Then he saw thrones being cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. The hair of his head were like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. Here's the judgment coming. It looks very much to me like this is probably the last day's judgment. It's going to happen somewhere in the last days, and to me it looks more like a great white throne judgment than anything else. And it says the books were opened. And all men were judged. It's just not, let me just tell you this morning, it's not only the ungodly that will be judged in the great white throne judgment. We're all going to be judged. We're all facing judgment. In fact, when it comes to the time when we raptured, should we be raptured out of here, or even when we leave this earth, which judgment do we face then? We face the judgment seat of Christ. If we go to 2nd or 1st Corinthians, 2nd Corinthians, both books talk about it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, part B, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He shall be saved, so yet as by fire. Our work is going to be tried, and it's going to be as by fire. And if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which is done, whether it be good or bad. This is the judgment of the Christians, my friends. What 1 Corinthians said, and what this says, put them together, it's the judgment seat of Christ, and all believers will be facing that judgment. It's not about sins. It's about our work. What have we actually done? What have we done for our Lord Jesus Christ? And then is the judgment of the nations, which will come at the end, I believe, of the Great Tribulation, when all the nations in this world will be judged. And then, as I mentioned already, the Great White Throne Judgment at the end of the millennium. Where at the end of the millennium again, Satan will be released at the end of the millennium to try those that have not made up their hearts and their minds to follow Christ and to deceive as many as he possibly could. And Satan is going to try his utmost at the end of the millennium to win to his side what he can. And then comes the Great White Throne Judgment. And these are the judgments that I believe Daniel's talking about. Even though he's not spelling it out clearly, but we have to remember, how many years ago was this when Daniel wrote about this? And he says in verse 15, he says, I, Daniel, grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and visions of my head troubled me. And a lot of these things do trouble us as well. We don't understand how this is all going to unfold. I'm not clear on all this yet either. I can tell you these things are about to happen, but how they will exactly happen, I don't know. And I don't know, and I don't want to set timelines and time frames when these things will happen. But I do know today the end is drawing closer, closer each and every passing day. And it says also the beast in verse 11 will be judged, and he will be slain, and he will be destroyed and given to burning fire. He will be thrown in the pit. Revelation 19:20 talks about that. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of the mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So we see Antichrist here is already destroyed, but there is a remnant that God is going to save. It says in verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And these are the ones that I believe will be there, that are here today, and will be there at the end of the millennium to again deceive the people that are in the millennium. And then in another vision in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed." What did Daniel see here in this third vision? He saw the Son of Man. He saw Jesus Christ coming to this earth. He saw him coming in the clouds of heaven. And it was to him was given dominion, power, glory, and all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. That is going to be happening in the millennium as well. All people. It doesn't matter, young or old, everyone will serve him until the end, until Satan is released again to deceive the people. But Daniel does talk about way back that Christ is returning. And we are today waiting for the rapture. And some say it's going to happen very soon. Some are not so sure. I don't know exactly when that's happening. But if anything, could I challenge you today? In the time frame we're in and the things that are happening around this world, will we be on that rapture when it happens? Will we meet our Lord Jesus Christ in the air? Will we have surrendered our lives to him in that most powerful, wonderful way? I believe today we still have that opportunity. Today we can still, if we've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, still come to him. Accept him as Lord and Savior. And if we're afraid of the judgment, today we can still make that right. The scripture talks about, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 11, if you would judge yourselves, you would not need to be judged. Where are we walking? How are we walking with the Lord today? In what way are we walking with the Lord? Are all the things that we are doing, are they honoring and pleasing to our Lord? Do we make time for our Lord? Do we have regular times of reading and prayer with our Lord? Or is it all about me first? Me time. My time. Let us think that through a little bit. How are we walking each and every day? You see, in verse 18, we have that wonderful promise for us as believers. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. We're going to be ruling with our Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium. And then comes a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be rejoicing and praising with him, praising him for all eternity. Friends, are we ready for that? And are we prepared for that? And have you prepared your heart and your soul? Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. You know, isn't that a beautiful promise? That the kingdom of this world... Let me just switch subject quickly. So many of our world leaders today, Greenpeace movements and climate change and all that, the world seems to think, the world leaders seem to think, maybe I shouldn't use his name, but Klaus Schwab seems to think that he can change this world, he changed the climate, control the climate, and make everything in control, that this world will last for another millions and millions of years for all our children, on and on and on they talk about. No, that's not going to happen. It's going to be given to the saints. It's not for the worldly people. It's for you and me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get the kingdom. There is no climate change in my mind. What's been happening in this climate, what's been happening, it's been happening for years and years and years. No two summers are alike. No two winters are alike. No two springs are alike. And as farmers, we always said, well, last year I thought I'd all figured out. We had this beautiful crop. Then comes the next year, and I'm going to do exactly the same thing as I did that year. I had the good crop, and then what happens? God changes the weather, and the crops change. Production changes. Spraying weather isn't the same. It brings challenges. God is in control of this whole earth. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And we as his saints will serve him and obey him. For Daniel, verse 28, everything was mind-boggling to him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations or my mind much troubled me. My countenance changed. I became pale. I became weary. But I kept the matter in my heart. When we hear all these things in this world today, all these things about climate change and everything else, how do we look at it? Are we on the side of those that say, yes, something needs to be done, it's too much pollution, too many cars, too much gas, too much whatever? Or are we simply saying, God is in charge? God is in control. Do we see God in the picture? I think we need to adjust our heart. If we're thinking differently than that God is in charge, I would ask you, as my friends, change your heart. Change your heart to that God is in charge. God is in control. Are you serving Christ to the fullest? Let us pray. Lord God and Father, we want to thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you, Father, for the teachings of Daniel. Father, that we already, even in the book of Daniel, can foresee what Antichrist will be like, what he will be all about. And Revelation makes it so clear to us as well that he will want to rule this world. And there will be a short period of time, like 3.5 years, that he will be able to do that. Things will be given into his hands. Saints will be given into his hand. Yet, Father, we fully trust that you will take us through those times, should we be there. But, Father, above all, we trust that you will be rapture us out before then, and that we will be with you in eternity. And Father, should there be any soul here today, or anybody listening online, on FM radio for that matter, seeing this message in the future, my question would be first, are you right with God? Two, have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Maybe that should be first. Have you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior? And are you making things right with God? Are you preparing for eternity? We pray, God, that you would guide people, their hearts, souls, and minds to be right with you, Father. And Father, I do pray for the nation as it is today. Father, we see much unrighteousness in our land and our country. We do pray for our government as you have commanded. We pray, God, that you would lead and guide and direct them as it would be pleasing to you, Father. And even though, Father, we do not understand all the things that you're letting to come to pass, but Father, maybe it's for our learning. Maybe it's for testing our faith. But whatever it is, Father, help us to continually keep trusting in you, Lord God. But we do thank you, Father, for this land and this country that we have, the freedom that we have in this country, the blessings that we have in this country. Father, we fully realize the wars that are going on in Ukraine with Russia and so forth. We do pray, God, for all the believers that are in those countries, that perhaps we would say are caught in the crossfire or caught in the mix of the whole thing, who are hurt by it and who are totally innocent. I pray, Father God, that you would undertake for them in a very special and a powerful way, that you would guide those souls that they may find peace in you, Lord God. We pray for those believers and Christians in foreign lands and countries where they're martyred for their faith, where they're tested and tried for their faith. We pray, God, that you would just walk alongside them each and every step of the way, that they would continue to have boldness to minister your word and your truth, even in spite of the difficulties that they face. May they be bold to stand up for you, Lord God. And Father, I do pray for our people at home here. I pray for our families. I pray for the marriages. I pray, Lord God, that you would be with each household. We realize with the rising prices of everything today, things become more difficult. Budgets are being stretched. Paychecks are getting thinner, it seems. But yet, Father, guide us and help us to be frugal. Give us wisdom how to manage through these things. And above all, Father, may each marriage put their trust in you. May each household put their trust in you, Father, to guide them through all these challenges and difficulties, which I said earlier, maybe are very light yet compared to what may come. But maybe, Father, you're giving us a training ground today. And maybe we've closed our ears and eyes and minds to this, that we don't want to be trained. Oh God, help us, please, to understand what is happening in this world. Help us to understand how you are there for us, to walk with us and to guide us. Father, I just pray, God, you would bless all the believers who are walking faithfully to you, for you, and uphold them in each and every step of the way. Father, I pray, too, as the ministerial go to the conference and visiting guests that are here as well who are traveling through, I pray, God, that you would grant us travel mercies. And may it be a wonderful time of teaching and understanding. And may we glean truths and learning from each other at that conference. And may it be all about you, Lord God. And may you teach us, Father, that conference in such a way that we be strengthened and encouraged. And Father, may you, Lord God, walk with each one of these that are here, that's gathered here this morning, young and old. May you draw near to them. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. This too is more.
Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Jesus will meet you there. May that be encouragement. May that be a blessing. And it is a blessing that we have a Savior who is just wanting us to come and kneel at the cross. Jesus does not want the death of a sinner. He wants every one of us to be saved. And I'm sure we all want to one day go up into eternity, go up into heaven with him. And when we see and hear how terrible the last days will be, how gruesome the days will be, how awful Antichrist will be, it'll be worth kneeling at the cross, leaving every care there. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your visitors choosing to come fellowship with us. And may you have been blessed this morning and encouraged in some small way through thy word of God. I'll take benediction of the last words of Hebrew. Now the God of peace that brought again the dead of the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, work in you which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And you're dismissed. May the grace of God go with each one of you. Have a blessed week.